So, William Alford.
Well, it's a long time.
How are you?
Not so bad, not so bad.
And I know I met you the day and I was practicing my Chinese and everybody will find out why later.
I'll tell you gave me a clatter of words there that I understood, so it wasn't that bad.
Well, my man was asking me, Mummy, ask him, how do you say chicken and fried rice on Saturday night? You know, they're all into this Chinese. And that's probably all they know about the Chinese language. But hopefully the day everybody after they hear this will know the links between Chinese. Is it Mandarin?
Mandarin's the official language. China's a big place. Uh-huh. China's a family of languages, but Mandarin is the official one. And you could be a kind of an Asian fellow living in the southwest of China. You can be a white fellow living in the west of China.
Yeah.
You could be a Muslim. You could look physically totally different, but speak Mandarin. That's your common language.
And there's a link there, folks, between Ulster Scots
and Ballymilly.
You're from Ballyoglach originally.
I was born and reared in Ballyoglach. My parents are from Derry, so we always joke in our family. My oldest brother was born in Derry,
mm-hmm.
and then the two younger ones, me and my younger brother, were born in Ballyoglach. If you've ever been to Ballyoglach, there isn't much to it. There's Masside on one side,
uh-huh.
there's Tubercay on the other side. There is an Orange Hall. There is an Orange Hall, and I think done around about 1921 it was built. So uh-huh. Mostly it's farmland. There's a lot of farms, and there still is.
So, William, you are sitting there in Ballyoglach all years ago. I don't know, many years ago.
50.
I wasn't going to even head guess at.
Well, listen, my 50 balloon, I was 50 a month ago, and I've been sitting in the house looking at the balloon as it sags, as it goes down from the ceiling to the ground. And I says to myself, once she gets to the bottom, that's when I put her in the bin. So I'm almost there, my 50th birthday. When it's almost hit the ground, so be.
Well, I'll not tell you. My birthday's this week and I'm not going to disclose what age I am. I wish I was 50. But anyway, William, the reason we're doing this is you are a great speaker, both Ulster Scots and Chinese.
That's right.
Whatever caused you to have an interest? So, you know, free Ballyoglach, this is what I'm trying to grasp.
Well, how
did you ever get interested in learning Chinese?
My mum and dad were farmers and I grew up in a farm in. It was a mixed farm. We had yows and beasts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Grew pretty until near the end. And my dad would have done the odd, I feel, turnips the odd year, which is always a good thing. But I was always, in my family, I was always the academic. They always said, well, he likes the books. That's what they always said, well, he likes the books. So I always was pulled to reading and I was very curious and... So I was growing up, went to Masai Primary School and wasn't really aware of the language around me. I was learning mm-hmm. like everybody else. And then I went to school in Ballymoney in P6. And as I was in school one day in P6, I saw it was a maths lesson. Boy, I hated maths. I was scunnered before I even started the maths class. But anyway, there was this wee warm-up exercise that says, now there's our numbers and they come from the Arabic and there's the Roman numerals. And then them letters over there, that's the Chinese numbers.
Right.
And I nearly fell off. I said, that's well interesting. Mm-hmm. You can imagine me leaning there and looking into these cards. And so what I did was I got a piece of paper and a pen and wrote the whole thing, didn't it? And after that, every time I went to a birthday party, my mate there, Mark, he was always well good in the BMX.
Uh-huh.
And so-and-so was well good at the Fitba. I always said, well, I write Chinese. That was my...
That was your claim to fame.
That's my claim to fame. So I lived in the strength of that for many years.
So even young, you could see them. Yes. You could see... Did the Ulster Scots stand out to you more at that age? Did you notice these folk talk different? I talk different.
Aye. I say when I went to high school, mm-hmm. that's when I did French and had to do Latin in them days.
Mm-hmm.
And my love for languages got stronger and stronger and stronger. And I had great teachers, great passionate teachers about languages. And that's when I went to Dalrella, in those days. And that's when people started to mock people who spoke like me and people around Liscommon and Bushmill and those played inside. You know, and we were called Bursis.
Mm.
And the Bursi was somebody who was from the country. They were usually quite stupid, mm-hmm. though, of course, the opposite is true.
That stigma was because of the tongue.
And it's like, and another thing was, I think it was the idea was, you need to speak English. That's not English.
Mm.
So if you kind of do that, then you've got some you know, problem with it, that you can't do it. But the truth of the matter is, of course, I can speak in standard English now if I want to. But if you relax, it's the way you talk. It's the way it comes out your heart. You know, it's like Nelson Mandela says, you speak to me in English, it goes into my brain. Uh-huh. You speak to me in, I think, Zulu, his language was, or Gosha. He says, you're speaking to my heart. And that's where you start to become aware. And then you think, well, why are we getting slagged off for, you know, it's not about being stupid. It's about, and of course, as I understood this more and more, I realized, boy, this is great. And I began to then appreciate the times that I met with people, the farmers, and we talked together. And it's like, I was more keen to listen to it, you know.
It's like whenever, I know myself, you know, being for Billy Money, and we used to say, if you were doing it, they say the housing executive for the Dole office, right, and you would meet maybe a girl that you went to school with. And while you're in there, you're saying yes and
yes, no,
and can I help you? Uh-huh. And I would converse with her in standard English. And you maybe meet her 15 minutes later down the street, uh-huh, and you're going, how are you? You know, and you're back to your mother tongue, aren't you?
Exactly.
And you find that away a lot. But I did find there was an awful stigma attached. Uh-huh. And I spoke to a woman in time. She actually spoke low German.
Uh-huh.
And she said it was exactly the same when she was away. And you're used in the home place, using all your wee words, like chuck and
stains,
everything like that. And then when you go out somewhere, I mean, the minute we reached the school gate, it was like a switch. You weren't allowed to say I or no or ma or da or doctor.
Doctor.
So even sitting in a classroom, I don't know how you feel, but sitting in a classroom sometimes I'd have been saying, I am going to Brighton, I'm going downtown today with my mother. Mm-hmm. And in your head it's, I'm going down the town the day of my ma. But you were never allowed to do that.
Right.
So did you find you had to change, especially you went to Dalriada?
So that must have been... Dalriada was at a school, I mean, it was a good learning environment. I can't say anything again it because they were very good to me in many ways. And I would say there's many teachers there that were my inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one teacher, Miss McClemens, her name was, she's still around, I believe, and you know, she went to Spain for holidays.
Uh-huh.
And she came back with this turon, this cake. Now, we were from Ballymoney. This is days before Stuart would have had baguettes. We were learning to say, I would like a baguette in French. We didn't even know what baguette was. I remember asking my French teacher, we did the a la gare at the train station.
Uh-huh.
And you learn all these new words like, you know, like suitcase and train and all the rest. And then there's this word, left luggage office. I put my hand up as innocent as you could say, what's the right luggage office? And the woman just looked at me as if I was some heathen. I didn't even, you know, I'd never been abroad. So anyway, she would have sent me off to the canteen for a knife, and she would have cut that turon cake. She had cut that into 50 pieces.
Uh-huh.
I remember she'd hand out the class, and I remember eating this, but I think, boy, I'm eating a bit of Spanish cake here.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that was like,
oh, class.
I'd traveled. And I think that kind of inspiration was there. Now, unlike you, I wasn't so much that I was in my head, that I was kind of right, because I was really more writing French probably than English in these days. I think the thing for me was when I was out with the farmers in our area, our neighbours, when I heard them talking, I could hear it. And I remember thinking, this is like a code. We can talk this language. And we can, you know, I mean, like, yak, you know, minlek necht and all that stuff. And exactly. And I mean, boy there, John Dee there, you know, he was a, he went the hills there on a Sunday night or a Saturday night, they've been, in the summertime, it was like going to Kiltra without paying the ticket.
Aye.
You came in, the butter was handmade, and they were sat in there, and Jeannie would have started the genealogies. Oh, she's married to Jimmy Bird's wife, and his third child, he was our school teacher. Jeannie went on like that for hours and hours and hours. She knew every single soul. Mm-hmm. And John Dee, he was a great man, and when I told him I wanted to interview him for my dissertation, he said, Nay, Bullard Tall, Wally. So I sat him down and I got the recorder on. I said, now, John, I'm going to record you. Ah, Nay, where's it all? Nay, where's it all? So one of the weakers, he would say, he said, was, I says, now, John, this is the free conversation at the end. I says, John, on a summer's neck there, what would you have done there for like leisure? He said, well, times are hard. Hey, you wouldn't have done much leisure. But he says, we'd have gone down there to Ballantyne Harbour. I said, well, do you swim? Oh, not at all, Miss Roman. No, no, no. He said, we're down there to get the limpets. I says, what?
At the rocks.
Oh, I said, you didn't there a big stick and you had a good... He says, no, you mind knew you had to get them a cork rock, because if they didn't hit them right, they'd all tackened up and you couldn't get them off the rocks. And I just thought, I was sitting recording this, I was smiling to myself, because I said to my professor's going to absolutely love this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I suppose for me, it wasn't so much in school. I almost put Ulster Scots in the background. Aye. It was for the bus stop. It was for the bus on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was four out on the Saturday or on the fields with the neighbours. It wasn't until I got to uni then that I was perhaps more aware of it. And